Peace building has been a concept that has been around for a while, especially since 2005, when it was launched as a concept to actually fill what was then considered to be a gaping hole in the way that the UN was responding to issues of conflict prevention. But in fact, it has evolved dramatically. And as we've seen with the recent resolutions of the Security Council and the General Assembly, this historic joint resolution, peace building has now been recoined or redefined, if you will, much more as a preventive action. And it's actually at the heart, it's at the core of what the UN was established to do, which was basically prevent conflict, prevent future generations from the scourge of war. So peace building has grown, if you will, in size and importance. For the first 10 years of the activities of the Peace Building Commission, many of the countries were post-conflict countries. So, you know, you had countries like Liberia, you had countries like Sierra Leone, Burundi at the time, Guinea-Bissau right now. These were all countries that, if you will, were making their way out of conflict into early recovery, development, and peace building. The resolutions actually are giving a new interpretation of this role of the Peace Building Commission, and it's actually empowering it to be much more creative, much more flexible, and much more engaging. In the past, the Peace Building Commission wasn't necessarily undertaking functions of early warning, if you will, or actually engaging itself on preventive advice. It was very much responding to a series of countries that were put on its agenda by the Council.
There's a major event coming up in September in connection with peace building. What do you hope will be the results?
So the special event that we're referring to here is a very important high-level pledging conference for the Peace Building Fund. The Peace Building Fund has been playing quite a fundamental role in providing this very quick, flexible, rapid response, if you will, to immediate peace-building opportunities. So the Peace Building Fund is a high-risk, tolerant fund, a pooled funding mechanism where donors have been contributing very generously over the past years. We are now facing, if you will, a very difficult situation because the level of the fund has decreased given the tremendous amount of programmatic activities that have been launched. And we are hoping that this high-level pledging conference, we are hoping to be able to raise $300 million, which would correspond to what the Secretary General has as a target to be able to program and disperse $100 million a year. We are now caught with, if you will, the imbalance. We have over $130 million worth of requests coming from our colleagues in the field. And right now, as I speak to you, we only have $60 million left in the account. So this is a very important moment for the, after all these reviews that have happened, the HIPPO report, the 1325, the peace building architecture review, all speak to this notion of the importance of predictable and flexible financing that can move very quickly to support things like political dialogue, like preventing violence in electoral processes, of supporting women and youth initiatives, of bringing in reconciliation, supporting transitional justice mechanisms, supporting, if you will, demobilization efforts of our peacekeepers or special political missions on the ground. So linking, again, the peace, security, development, human rights parts of the work of the UN. They all come together, if you will, through this peace-building fund. This is a very important instrument.